My name is Gardaki. I used to run a tavern down that was called Malfunction Junction. It was kind of near the edge of the rusty, dusty town of Rigamarole Station. At the foot of the Rigamarole Mountains, the town had seen better days, and so had the mountains. It was one of those muggy summer days when you can smell a storm brewing. I was hoping it would rain soon so I could go out and wash the sweat off myself, and maybe have my boy Kenzie go back to our corral and scrub down the dragon. Only had a few customers in the place, including my uncle Ubaldo, he's our resident miniature golf pro, and Neezer, a retired sorceress who had a place somewhere up in the Ridge. Only saw her when she came into town for supplies, which wasn't often, but she always managed to be here just when something was about to happen. I sent Cursor, my oid waitron, over to see if she wanted something to eat.
Can I get you something, Ms. Neezer?
My usual, please. Cursor, I'm surprised they haven't rooted you out as a robot and smashed you up yet.
Oh, I have been, ma'am. Rooted, that is. But here an oid is considered a toy. I'm simply not enough real technology to be concerned about. In a less liberal town, I'd probably be a plowshare by now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No need to be.
Well, I'm glad you're still here. I always liked the robot rangers, and I don't feel nearly so guilty having you serve me as I would a person.
Thank you.
Suddenly, a big fellow in a trail duster strode in through the open door. He carried an Investor 73 magic staff over one shoulder and a pair of dark saddlebags over the other. His quick eyes surveyed the room as he came up to the bar.
Can I get a hot meal here, Tavern Master?
Sure can, stranger.
Well, I doubt I'm any stranger than anyone else in this place, huh?
He laid his saddlebags on the bar.
There we are. Well, good. I'll have a full plate of whatever sort of hash you got and a liter of water.
And then another big, rough-looking guy pushed into the room. He acted as though he had just pushed open the door and then slammed it behind him, even though there was no door there. He walked up to the stranger at the bar and said,
Marvin, the magician?
It's Marvin the wizard, if you please.
Ha ha! Whatever you call yourself, I'm calling you out.
I don't usually go out on a weeknight.
This is my place, Mac.
The name is Ruckus.
Oh, I've heard rumors of you, Ruckus.
Yeah? Well, those rumors are true.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean you are a tin-plated dictator with delusions of Godhead?
Maybe you'd rather go out with him, huh?
I mean, I challenge you to a duel, Marvin. Magic at 50 meters.
No. Well, you sure there isn't some other way we could settle this?
No. Are you coming outside or not?
Well, since you made the choice of weapons, by the rules, I get to choose which goal to defend and the starting time.
Rules?
So I will go out with you, but we meet on that hill on the west edge of town. We start tonight when the moon is at its highest. Agreed?
Well, there ain't nothing on that hill.
That makes for a clear shot, then, don't it?
Okay. On the hill at high moon, and I get the high ground.
Oh, I wish I'd thought of that.
I'll be waiting.
I don't doubt it.
The man named Ruckus swaggered out the door, leaving a breathless silence in the room.
Well, I believe I asked about some hash, Mr. Tavern Master.
Yes, you did.
And bring it to my table, Mr. Gardaki.
Well, Neezer, you old geezer.
Geezerette, if you please.
I'll remember that.
He seems like a thoroughly unpleasant fellow, Marvin.
Ruckus? Well, he reminds me of myself at that age, only not as bright.
What's he got against you?
Nothing. He's just a punk spell slinger out to make a reputation for himself.
By stealing yours?
Yeah, well, armed with just a hint of magic and the youthful ability to cloud his own mind, He somehow thinks that defeating me will raise him up. I doubt it'd raise dust.
You underestimate yourself, my friend.
Your hash, sir.
Oh, well, thank you, Oid. I'll take it, over here.
And sit with your back to the wall.
You can say that again.
I could, but it wouldn't advance the plot any.
Well, maybe later.
Marvin! I'm tired of waiting! Let's get on with it!
Do you get a lot of this kind coming after you?
Oh, not many, but you get yourself a reputation, sooner or later the idiots turn up. Now, the first magic duel I had was ideological. I was eating a leg of no-go in a tavern. She was a militant vegetologist who thought I should renounce meat then and there. I quietly disagreed. She took offense.
What was she thinking?
That's one of the great, silly mysteries of the universe. But when people know me as Marvin the Magician, a lot of them don't take me very seriously, at least not the first time.
It was probably just an excuse. She had a chip on her shoulder.
I'm afraid I took a pretty good chip right out of that shoulder, too.
Hey, Marvin! I'm waiting!
What are you going to do about him?
Ruckus? First I'm going to eat my dinner.
You're not worried about him?
No, not yet. There's a storm coming in. I want it to get closer.
Excuse me, sir. Are you really a magician?
Who's this boy?
He's the tavern master's son, Kenzie. Helps out around here.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Kenzie. I prefer to be called a wizard, but magician, sorcerer, wizard, they're all pretty much the same. We can each do our own kind of magic, son.
I know. Any wizard can do magic.
No, I mean anybody can do magic, even you.
Really? I can do magic?
Sure. We don't get to choose what kind of magic it is now. We just have to find it out. And then we have to learn how to use it, for good or for evil.
He's right, boy.
Now don't go filling my boy's head with that stuff. He's got enough imagination already.
Are you going to make him disappear?
No, I can't make him do anything. I can suggest. I can ask politely. I can... eventually he has to decide to do it himself.
What kind of magic do you do?
My kind of magic is, it's a sort of knowledge of how things work with a sense of the dramatic.
Oh, yes. Natural science with aesthetics.
No. Excuse me. Yes. I could not help but overhearing, but please, not science. Technotrickery is frowned upon in this province.
That's right. And real magic, they got no respect for you. Yeah.
Wasn't it old St. Clark who said, any sufficiently feeble magic is instantly recognized as mere science?
Hey, Marvin! You ready? Let's get on with this! There's a storm coming in!
Ooh. He's a bit impatient, isn't he?
That's good. On top of the hill at high moon! Those are the rules, boy!
I can't even see the moon through the thunderclouds!
Oh, it's up there! Trust me! Waiting is...
Is what?
Nothing! Just take it easy.
Waiting is...
That's ancient wisdom.
Yeah? Well, I don't go in for that New Age stuff.
Why doesn't he like you, Mr. Marvin?
Oh, I don't know, kid. It's one of the great silly mysteries of the universe.
Is that true what you said? That everyone could do magic?
Certainly it is. Most people don't know it, and they end up turning their magic inward, deluding themselves, or denying reality. And that's going to be frustrating.
But can't we use our magic to make the world go as we want it?
No, not exactly. We should use our own magic to fit ourselves into the real world. It doesn't work to try to build an imaginary world and then try to live in it, unless you're a writer.
Well, you two seem to agree to this.
Yeah, well, we're just two old sorcerers who've seen a lot.
Yeah, we're sort of co-pathetic.
Come on, old man! What are you afraid of? Do you think these feeble fireballs are too much for you?
But you are going to meet him out there.
Kid, you gotta pick your own nose and pick your own guitar. But mostly, you gotta pick your own battles. I'll do something when the magic is ready.
And then you're gonna go out there?
Well, actually, I thought I'd do it from right in here. I like to keep a safe distance from where my magic is happening.
You don't trust your own magic?
It can be dangerous.
I thought magic was so precise. You follow the spell in the book.
Oh, no. Magic is like jazz. You've got to improvise.
Nothing works perfectly. That's right. Sometimes it can get out of control, bounce back at you.
I've got stars, let me tell you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Best to be careful.
Hey, Marv, man, get out here!
Well, all right. He sounds about ready.
They all got up and went to the door. Marvin stepped outside on the boardwalk and shouted up to the upstart Ruckus.
Just a minute, Sonny. I gotta go take a whiz first. I'm a wizard, you know.
I've waited long enough!
Yes, I think you have, boy.
Good. Now let's all go back inside. I can finish my dinner.
Kalamazoo, how did you do that?
Magic. I thought that was pretty clear.
I mean, what kind of magic is that?
What's my magic? I let nature fight him. Nature never loses. It's one of the great silly mysteries of the universe. Yeah.
I thought you said magic doesn't work perfectly.
Well, I said not all the time, and there are likely to be side effects and aftershocks from this little episode here, so we might all want to stay inside for a while.
I think I see it. It's the concept of karma magnets, where events attract themselves to each other.
Exactly right. I just picked a spot where no one else was likely to get hurt. I told him where to be, and he went there. That was stupid. And then I let him wait. Longer he waited, the more angry and impatient he became, and the more negative he got. And pretty soon there he was, a tall, negatively charged object in a big thunderstorm. Shazam! Well, listen, I really do have to use Little Wizard's room, and look here, Tavern Master, can I have a deck of cards at the table when I get back, please?
I'm going to do a reading, Mr. Marvin.
Well, actually, I was thinking something more along the lines of five cards stud.
At least, that's the way I remember it. It was tired, and I was getting late, and living by the Rigmarole Mountains makes it hard to be sure.
And that was High Moon by Jerry Stearns, directed by Dick Stevens, with Albert Durand as Gardaki, Amethyst McRae as Kenzie, Sheila Miles as Kneezer, Jason Dugan as Cursor. Ruckus was played by Tim Connolly, and David Osmond played Marvin.